Where's Andrew? All right, Lord, we just thank you for another good, great, wonderful night tonight. Lord, we're going to keep our eyes focused on you, and our mind and our ears open to you, Father, to learn and to understand what you have for us tonight. Lord, I thank you that you're going to give us something tonight. I know I've been busy all day, and I should have taken some time to seek you, but as you know, it's pretty busy around here. And Lord, I thank you for tonight's going to be an awesome time. I just ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill us to overflowing, Lord, that tonight we'll just all feel so rejuvenated by the Spirit of God and knowing that you are leading us and guiding us into all things that we need to do. And I praise you for the wonderful wisdom and the wonderful discernment that you've given each and every one of us. Lord, give us more. Give us more, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask and we pray that all of the flesh that's left, Lord, you'd help us to get rid of. And I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the bold faith that you have put in our hearts to manifest this faith so people can understand that you're a faith God. We live by faith because of you. And we praise you for that, for Lord. And I thank you that tonight's not going to be any exception. We're all going to believe the things that we pray are going to happen. In Jesus' name. Not only believe it, we know it. We just know that when we pray and believe that it's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Because, you know, Lord, I've learned that when we speak the word of God, that it changes the very atmosphere around us. And I praise you, Father, for giving us that opportunity to change the things around us for the things that you would have us to do and to experience those wonderful, wonderful times. Not only that, Lord, we know that when we speak healing of someone, that things start right then, speaking the word of God. Not only that, when we speak deliverance on somebody, that devil's got to go. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the authority that you've given us. Not only that, Lord, if provisions are our need, all we have to do is ask and believe. And Father, we thank you that it's all coming to pass in Jesus' name. As you wind these things down to the coming of the tribulation, Lord, I thank you for already taking some of us through the tribulation in order to help other people through the next tribulation, the big tribulation. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, tonight get the things across that you would have us to talk about. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. And Lord, put peace and joy and rest in our hearts all the time. Because you are a God of joy, peace, and love, and all of those great and wonderful things, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on in.
Missing it a bit.
Yeah. Hey, this is my daughter, Michelle. She wanted to say hello to everybody. Hang on just a minute. Let me get my earplugs off and put it on the speaker. Okay, y'all say hello to Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
This is
Hello.
Missy.
Hi, Missy.
And she's from Pennsylvania, one of
Pennsylvania, yes.
wonderful blue states up there.
What part of Pennsylvania?
Near Pittsburgh.
My son died in Allentown.
Yeah.
Don't
Sorry, I was asking if she was close to it.
forget
Okay.
it.
Okay, Dad.
This is Benjamin. He lives up in Ottawa, I think.
Ottawa, Ontario.
Yeah.
Hi, Benjamin. Is it
Hi.
cold up there?
It's getting cold. It's getting there.
Okay.
This is Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
And Patrick, I forget where you live.
I like Forge.
Valley Forge.
Yeah,
Okay.
about 40 miles from Allentown.
Yes, I know where you're at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, George was up there at one time. Anyway, y'all will get it in a minute.
Here for
And
these two.
this, you know who this is?
Who's that?
That is Anna. This is Obadiah. This is Kayla. La Kayla.
Well, hi guys.
And that's
Hello.
just
Nice to meet
a
you.
small portion
Me
of them.
too.
This is
This is only
all my
half of
kids
us.
too. This is all my kids too.
Your kids
Yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Michelle, you want to say hi?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew's here, but he's getting ready to take a shower, so he's not
Okay.
got a shirt on, but
Okay. Well, now, Obi, don't try to expose your dad. Come on now.
Sounds like
He's
you're
living
great.
that way every day. No big
It
deal.
was nice to meet you guys. I've been up since 4 a.m. I'm fixing to go to bed.
Okay.
Good boy.
Let
Too
me
late.
hang on just a second.
Yes,
This
sir.
is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
This is the one I was
And
wanting
nice
to
to.
meet earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Say hi, Debbie, this
nice
is Michelle.
to meet you, Michelle. Nice to meet
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, and this is Barbara. Barbara, where are you? Show yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I don't see your face, but hi.
Hold on a minute.
Yay, you can see
Cameo
Barbara.
appearance by Barbara. Here she comes.
Ooh.
There she is.
There she
Barbara!
is. Can you see
Hey.
me? I know it's kind of dark in here, but
Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Lots of Pennsylvania people in here.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
yeah.
We're trying
Yes,
to,
nice to meet
we're
you,
working on
Michelle.
that.
Nice to meet you too.
We're working on that Pennsylvania stuff. We're trying to get more folks in here.
You better get a lot more than that.
Well,
Julie,
there's
you
not too,
forgot Julie.
You
there's
forgot
not too
somebody.
many Southern folks
You
in.
forgot somebody.
We met before you guys all came in
Oh,
here.
Julie. Yeah, she met Julie earlier.
Yes.
Yeah,
Oh,
she did.
okay.
Yeah, before y'all were all on here, she was on
And
here.
I'm not from here. I'm not from here.
She's from Southern. Where you tell her where you're from, Julie.
I'm in Eastern San Diego County. Eastern
Okay.
San Diego.
California.
I lived in Fresno and Ventura County.
Okay, I'm south of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
El Cajon, if you're familiar with El Cajon
Yes,
or
I'm
heard of it.
very,
Okay.
very familiar. Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay.
I
I'm
know a
in
lot
that
about
neck of the woods.
California. I won't hold
Okay.
it against you.
Hey, I wasn't born here. I'm not from here. That's what I tell everybody. I'm not from here. I don't fit here. I don't belong here. I'm waiting for God to move me.
She's originally from Iowa.
You're from
Originally
Iowa
from Iowa.
originally? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's
Lewis.
easy to say for a Southern Iowa.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said that's easy to say, Iowa. That's where you from,
Iowa.
Iowa. Well, that's
Michael.
what I said.
Yeah, I know.
All right, huh?
With a trained ear, that's what you said.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.
It's nice to meet all of you guys.
Nice to
Thank
meet
you.
you.
Love you,
Nice to
Dad.
meet
you.
No.
See you, sweetie.
Good night.
Sleep well.
I will. Believe
Okay.
me.
Where's my dad? Where's
Oh
my dad?
my. Yeah, that's my oldest. And she's been a big help. Just Jeanette, she's been a real big help. I'm telling you, she's been a blessing to her dad. So I invited her out here and she said, I'll be there.
Amen.
I said, well, bring Brent Blake too. Blake had to work. So anyway, we're going to have a good time. We're going to go up to Indian Boundary. And also to the falls up there. Probably tomorrow on Sunday, or what is today? Probably Sunday. She'll be leaving Monday, so I've got quite a number of days with her. We're going to have a good time. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you for bringing Michelle out. You know how much I love my family, how much a blessing she's been. Lord, bless her while she's here. Bless her so much so that she'll want to come back next week. And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she's already said that she'd like to move out here. And I thank you for that too, Lord. Lord, place that in all of my children's heart to come on out here and see Dad and Papa. And I praise you for that, Lord. I know they all want to come out. Mom and Dad's got to have that want to too. Thank you. Look at that girl. Standing up there, for goodness sake. Girl, you go. Uh-oh, you're trying to teach her to walk too soon. She'll be into everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my family. In Jesus' name. Does anybody else want to pray for your family? Yeah, Ben.
Lord, I thank you so much for my family. I thank you for the work that you're putting in them already. Lord Father God, I thank you for giving them a new house. And Lord, I just pray that you bless that house and so that it stands strong and good. And thank you, Father, for giving them 4 bedrooms so that they can have 2 more kids and 2 more nieces and nephews or whatever. Thank you, Lord, for blessing my family. And I rebuke any sort of new age, any sort of psychology curses, any sort of yoga curses on them, Father. Lord, Father God, I thank you so much for bringing them into the kingdom, for opening their minds to the true spirit of God. And I break any sort of wall on my dad's side with Catholicism, any sort of religiosity, any sort of, I don't know what they got, Father, but all I know is that there's nothing beyond your power, and I already consider them in the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Okay, I don't know if I shared it with everybody about my granddaughter Savea going to Bethel. Did I share that here with you guys? Okay. God is stopping that, I believe. I mean, she got there. She got there, but she got her boyfriend was there a week before her, and he broke it off with her when he finally saw her. After she was there a week, she was there. He was there 5 days before, but there was a couple more days because Hadassah and Brad took her there, and they were, doing stuff. But he broke off the relationship with her, and she was just devastated. And she wants to go home, and I haven't heard anything about. I tried to call her today and couldn't talk to her. I couldn't reach her. I haven't heard from Hadassah whether, she's gone back yet or what. But she just didn't want to stay. Trying to go home, and so I'm just praying that that's going to stay that way. So, anyway, so I just pray for that so to happen, and I pray for my grandson Tyler. He is dealing with the football thing, and he's faded out now. He's faded all that revival stuff that he was involved with. Good things. He was really good with in that into that, and a lot of people being saved. He's talked to a lot of people, and just on fire for the Lord in that way. And but now he's into the football, and so anyway, Lord, I just lift up my family, Lord. I lift up you've heard my prayers for all of them, Lord, to free them, Lord, from the love of this world, Lord God, and all my children and all my sons-in-laws, Lord, and for Judah, Lord, and this divorce he's going through now, God, you would just cause him to see that this time now is for you, Lord, that you want him, Lord God, and that he would give himself over to you, Lord God, and really just decided to get into your word, and they would receive what I shared with him, Lord, that they believe God wants him to for himself and wants him to draw near and be in his word, and I just pray that you'll help him to do that, Lord, and I pray that you would just continue to lead kind of all over the place here, I'm sorry, kind of lead Savea, Father God. I pray that that she will not be staying there, Father. We've prayed that, Lord God, and I just believe that's this is an answer, Lord, and it's going to continue on, and that there will be no interference or anything trying to be to control her to stay through Hadassah mainly, Lord, and I just pray, God, that she will stick to her guns and realize and say that no, I don't want to be here with. I just can't do it. She said it was too emotional and hard. And so, Lord, thank you, Lord, for causing this to happen, Lord. And this is what you use, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And I just thank you for the work you're doing in all my children, Lord, that bringing them to you, Lord, hearing all my prayers, Father, and my grandchildren too, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that you given us the promise of household salvation, and I receive it for my family, Lord. And I ask your blessing upon them in every way, Lord, and they would be all in your will. In whatever they do, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Praise God. And we believe it. We confess it too. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that at some point in time in the near history, in the near, very near history, we're going to have all of our family around us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody else want to pray for your family? Yeah, Missy.
I just want to praise and thank the Lord for Merle surgery going well, and he's doing well. And thank you, Lord, that for putting faith in him to believe you, Lord, for all his healing in Jesus' name. And
Amen.
thank you, Lord, for
Thank you.
bringing all my family into the kingdom and blessing them all in the name of Jesus. And I just cast down all these attacks upon my mind, trying to discourage me concerning my family, and just putting all these critical and condemning and thoughts and all this kind of thoughts of faction and stuff like that. I cast it all down. My family is free, and they're delivered, and they're healed, and they're repentant and believing in you, Lord, and they all love each other and get along well in Jesus' name. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that they're all delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of your love, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for watching over little Blake in kindergarten, Lord, that she gets good friends, Lord. You put friends, help her to pick friends, Lord, even if it's beknownst her, Lord, that they're going to be good influences on her, Lord. And I just send forth the angels to watch over her and protect her in every way, spirit, soul, body, mind, will, and emotion. And all my grandkids, plead the blood of Jesus over them, over their heart, their soul, their mind. And Lord, guard their mind, their eyes, their ears, their heart, and their mouth, Lord, and make them little Jesuses, Lord, just like you, Lord, as well as their parents, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting in their in them to repent and believe in you, Lord. And bring up the children in you. And I just thank you, Lord, that Megan and Brooke are going to teach their own kids here before too long. And they may even just, I believe they're going to work together and they're going to maybe help teach other kids, Lord, but they're going to be teaching their own kids, Lord. And because we know, Lord, we're about ready to come into the tribulation and things are going to change drastically, Lord. And I'm going to need godly teachers. And I thank you for raising up Brooke and Megan quickly, Lord, to love you and seek you and to know you and to be able to pass that on to the children as well as Matt and Kurt, Lord. And all the parents of the little ones in my family, my nephew Brett and his children, and Riley, Brady, and Kaylee, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing my cousin Billy back in the picture. I don't know where he's at with you, if he has any kind of relationship with you, if he knows you at all, Lord. But I just thank you and praise you. You see the end from the beginning, and he's yours as well as his all his family. I don't. I'm guessing he's still married, and I'm not sure how many kids he has, Lord, or even grandkids, Lord. But I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for blessing them and bringing them into your kingdom in a great way, Lord. And Give them all shepherds, your man child shepherds, Lord, that will feed them knowledge and understanding, and they will be shepherds according to your will, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that for all my family, for Alex, for drawing him to yourself, Lord, and then bringing him out of all bondages and out of all darkness and repentance unto salvation, Lord. And my brother and sister-in-law, Brian and Dorley, and Anna and Esther and Stephen and Esther, going to get married before too long here. I just thank you, Lord, for putting in their hearts, Lord, to just run after you with all their hearts and to know, Lord, that you're the answer, and you have all the answers, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for my sister Cindy and her husband, my brother-in-law Frank, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you're gonna make him a mighty, mighty man of God, and he's gonna be a fisher of men, and he's gonna love fishing for men better than the fish in the water, Lord. He's gonna be quite good at it because you're gonna anoint him to do that. He's gonna be a great evangelist, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for just making all my family mighty men and women, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Obadiah, you got the perfect place, man. Watching the outreach. Because if it gets too boring, you just lay back. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do what? Anybody else? No, it doesn't. It don't get boring in here. Praise God. Jesus is working. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I forgot something. I also shared prayer for Gloria's husband's ex-wife, that situation with her boyfriend and how he was really cruel to Greg's sons when they were there staying the weekend, because she has them every weekend and he was living there. And so anyway, it had to go to court and everything, and he was able to, they put a protection order of protection against him, but because he and Melissa have a daughter, little girl there at the house, he was able to have two chances of fighting that, and so he went to court two other times and lost them both. So he's done. He cannot be around Greg and Tadas, Greg Tadas, and Gloria and the boys, and he can't be around Melissa and his daughter. So God really answered prayer at that. So I do pray for him that God will just work in his life and save him. So thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord, and just thank you for answering our prayers and protecting the family, Lord God, and all the kids and everyone, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. And I want to lift up Gloria because she's due October 6th, 6th or 8th with her little boy, my boy. And so I just thank you, Lord, that you will just give her a wonderful labor, Lord God, and delivery, Lord God. It'll be quick, Lord God. I thank you for her spirit, Lord. She's just so content with where she's at. I thank you for how you just took her out of where she was and plopped her here with Greg, even though he is a Christian. But I pray that you'd just do a work and that he'd become baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she too, that she would share with him things that she knows. And I just thank you that she's with somebody who's in the Word with her, Lord God, and teaching the children your ways, Lord. Just thank you for blessing her, God, and with the way you have, God, and bless them with Alistair is the baby's name going to be. And thank you, Lord, for safe delivery when the time comes, Lord. I just want to give you praise, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask like Debbie, pray that you would take this young man and I break the power of Satan off of him right now in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would fill the gap with your presence and bring him into the kingdom and make a mighty man of God of him, that his children will be proud of him in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing that for this young man. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't even know his name, but that's okay. God does. All right. Who's next? This song's been rolling around in my head, but I know, Julie, this isn't the one she's got, but I'm going to sing a little of it. Take my hand, precious Lord. Some of you know it, some of you don't. All right, Julie, go ahead. I got you ready.
Amen, Michael. That's a good song. We do want that. It's something that came up in my YouTube feed yesterday for my song, my playlist that came up, and what you prayed tonight initially at like the very beginning, that we would get our eyes fixed on Jesus, you know, and keep them there. So I hope you like this song. I think you may know it. I know you know the group.
Nothing showing.
I lift up my head, I sing out a song. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus, till the things of this earth all pass away.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I like that song. I recognize the guy, the older guy, but I didn't recognize. I guess was the black-headed girl and the black-headed boy in the front there, weren't they part of it? Two, I can't remember their name, but that's the only ones I recognized in that one. 6 years
that
old.
Was about
People
6 years ago. About
yeah.
6 years ago, and this is one of their, you know, when they get all like their that group of kids and they're all singing, that's what,
yeah.
you know, teaching them stuff, that's what that's from. And I like that song, and it came up in my feed,
Yeah,
and it really
I
ministered
like
to
it too. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Josie. Good to see you, girl. All right, who's next? Anybody got anything you want to share? Yeah, Andrew. How you doing, brother?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the Lord that I got on today. I pressed my Z button there and it wouldn't go on. So I had to reboot. Anyways, it came on anyway. So that's good. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for what he's doing with me. And he's shown me a lot of stuff in his word. And I thank him for that. When you were praying there, for families and stuff, I just pray, Father, that that you would restore patriarchs of the family. You know, there has to be a patriarch or a patriarchess of the family, Lord, that would that might show things to the people, and that they would be granted their position. That you would make them have that position that they are supposed to have. First of all, and that you would restore all things for all our loved ones, Father. And just be there for us, Lord, so that our vision would always be on you. And we would be there according to your plan, Father. And thank you for the verses you gave me, Father, yesterday during the Bible study. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Andrew, you missed my daughter. She come in here earlier.
Yeah. Well,
she kind of hit the sack earlier. She drove 516 miles up here to see your dad.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really good.
That's really
yeah,
good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful little girl. Well, she ain't so little anymore. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Benita.
Hi,
Look at
everyone.
this. Hey, look at that hat. Boy, you look sport.
It's the only hat I could find today, so I grabbed it.
Okay, looks good. See,
better than
Senorita.
Nothing, right? I thought Obi would get a kick out of it anyway.
Yeah, I bet he,
well,
I
we had
get
a
kick.
We had a lovely trip to Seattle to the wedding, Nick and I, and my friend from my childhood friend, Anupa, she's from Michigan also. She flew out there too. So we all spent the week with my cousin that lives out there. And so that was really nice. So yeah, just praise the Lord for a good trip and just catching up with old friends, Lord, and gave us that opportunity and being, you know, I stayed up several nights with my cousin, like way into the night. We never get to do that. I mean, gosh, she's been in America for 20 years and I've never really had an opportunity to talk to her because it's always, you know, on the phone and people are around, or she'll come to Michigan and when she comes, there's like 20 people there. So it's just really hard to have a good conversation heart to heart. So we sat up till 4 o'clock in the morning one night
oh,
and
my.
just We talked. I sh shared my testimony, and she shared where she's at in her life with religion and everything. She's a Jain. Her husband is Jain, so she's Jain also. It's similar to Hinduism, but they're more strict. I don't know. They have different. So she was, when we were there, she was doing this special fast. So she did a fast for a day, a whole day, and then she did one meal a day for a week, and then she ended with a full day fast. So we were just talking about that and sharing things like that. So I just hope the Lord just, put a little bit in there for me. I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it's so like impossible, it just feels like nobody's listening, nobody's going to get there, but we are just praying right now for families, and we're believing for families, and we know he makes the way. So he's a way maker, right? So he's going to make a way somehow through all that history they have and all that culture they have and everything. He's going to make a way, and we praise the Lord for that. My cousin's name is Anjali. Same, my daughter was kind of named after her. So they're both Anjalis were there. So it was getting a little confusing. Anju one and Anju two. But we had a nice time. So praise the Lord.
It's
Oh,
always
Nick
good.
had a great time too. He was really
Great.
quiet there. Whenever he's around people, he's so quiet. And then he comes home, and I'm like, "Where's that kid? I want." He's just crazy here. He's just, I don't know what it is, but it was like he just was released, and he was pretty wild this morning.
Was he?
So we just have to laugh about it, though,
He wasn't too
right?
quiet when he come here.
Well, compared to how he is here, yeah.
Oh,
When he's
okay.
just with me, yeah. You know how kids are with their moms.
Yeah, I do.
That was Nick. Yeah, he's at work though. He worked all day, so that was, praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Thank
We
you,
got a little
Lord.
break. Yep.
Hi, Yobi. Smile real big, buddy. Can you hear me, Obi?
Nope.
He can't. He doesn't want to hear me, does he? Give me a big smile, buddy. Yay, for a big smile. There you go. I see him coming back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, okay. She does a good job of that. She does a good job of that. All you kids could scream real good when you was little. All right, who's next? Well, I really don't have an agenda tonight other than the Lord Jesus. So if anybody wants to speak up, go ahead. Yeah, Ben, go ahead. Or did you swat that flies? Where'd he go? Oh, he took off. All right. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, I think we mentioned something about maybe talking about the Bible study, but I don't know that anyone got a chance, everyone got to listen to it. And then, but Andrew said that the Lord gave him some words while he was listening to the Bible study yesterday. Is that right, Andrew?
Yeah, it sure is. Didn't know if it was just for me, but I had a verse with me for a while by my bed. What I do sometimes is when my desktop computer used to work, I would print out verses and tape them up all over the desk and on the wall, and you wake up in the morning and you see that wonderful verse. And the verse I got was the verse before it. So it's Ephesians 3:12 that I always had, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through his faith. So I read the 11th verse, the one up before it, and it says, according to a plan of the ages, which he, and that's God, made. It's a creative word, made. There's a lot of made in there too, because in 2:10 there's a creation too of Ephesians, made in the Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is a plan that God made of the ages, and he made this plan before he made everything. So according to that, to a plan of the ages, which God made in the Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access in confidence through his faith. And I just impressed upon me that I was really excited yesterday when I was hearing Michael talk. You know, I was on cloud nine there, and verses would pop into your head, and this is such a close plan, you know, a really good relationship with the Father, because he's making you, and he made this plan long time ago, before, you know, there's the verse about the first Adam and the last Adam. So he had a plan. He told Paul about it there, and he made it before the foundations of the world, and it's according to the ages, all the ages. So, you know, the people in the past should know that God has made several covenants with mankind, and this last covenant he made with his son is an everlasting covenant. And, just to obey these two verses would make you what you're supposed to be. And we want to please God. We don't want to say that what he told us as promises are not true. And it's kind of scary too at the same time, because we need to obey this. We love because he first loved us. And of course, that's past tense too. So he gave us of his love so that we could love him back. And of course, this is a living word too, you know. So if it's a living word, then we have to have confidence in our inward man that we have. And we need to see that these witnesses of spirit and word and water and word and the blood and the life is coming forth out of us. So that's the plan, you know. It's you know, I put some other verses down here that Michael was saying, you know, 6:63, you know, where he speaks in John 6:63 about the word being spirit and life. And of course, those are the witnesses too, you know, because John says the same thing over there in 1 John, the three witnesses of spirit, water, and blood. And to maintain this focus, I know it's basic stuff, but to have this living word in us all the time, and it should be active all the time. And we know that there is an opposing covenant to God's covenant that he's trying to put in our, God's putting in our head his covenant, and then the other one tries to come in and put his wing of abominations in our head. And we're warned against this. So it's just, you know, our struggles are there all the time, but we have to continue. We have to go with the Father. And I'm not going to say that said, you know, because we can't say that said, because we have newness of life. Everyone sometimes tries to share that they might have failures. And even sometimes right after they give a good testimony. And I think sometimes that might mess up some people too, you know. So we should give the testimony that is true and right. Everybody knows we're growing into Christ, so we don't have to give that other testimony. Unless we ask for prayer and in a struggle, and but who are we? Who do we have in our plan on our side? You know, that's something that just kind of clarified to me. You know, we have a plan, and what is the Father really saying to us here about this plan that he made for us? You know, like, does he not counsel us on how powerful and mighty he is? And I'm grateful for his mercy and grace, and so this plan is everything which God made in the Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Jesus had something to say about being good, and he says, why do you call me good, you know? And there's only one that's good, and goodness, he in his humility, he wouldn't claim that goodness. So he just expected it. So my expectations are already met. Praise God. And that's the way I think we should speak more boldly of our Father. Because, you know, he's really the top one, you know. You could think of him as a patriarch, as they thought of Abraham, but he would be the leading patriarch, wouldn't he? And he's made it all. So he's an amazing father. We have to have the right mindset. You know, people could have talent and have the single talent and have the wrong mindset toward God, and we want to produce from the talent we have the 100% that God has for us. Whether it's 5 for another 5, 2 for another 2. But you see, the guy who had 5 got an extra one too. He got 11. So we can learn from other people's mistakes. We've seen some mistakes with some of the brethren who factioned out, and we pray for them. But to the extent of this mistake, of these people, I don't know exactly to the full extent, but I've heard some real stuff that was shared. So God is looking after us corporately and individually, and praise God for that. And I can't say how careful I am choosing these words. And praise and glory to God. He's the Almighty God and Father. Thank you, Father. We want to be close to you, just like your son Jesus was. We want to speak what you tell us to speak when the opportunity comes. We ask for open doors too, as we see in the scriptures where they ask for open doors. We know, Father, that you take care of it all. We know that Peter was there in the book of Acts on the rooftop, and you were already preparing his way for him because someone was coming to his house. And we want that preparation for us too, Father. And we sit in our position in the peace of the Christ, for the Christ to rule in our hearts, whereunto we were called, and in one body. And we're thankful for whatever the future holds for us. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your leading and your guidance in everything that we do. And Father, let us speak boldly about your word. Let us confess boldly about your word. And we praise you for it, Father, because when we do, things change in the atmosphere around us. And we praise you for that, Father. And we know it because it's true. The word says it. And I believe it. Thank you, Father. You said when we speak to that mountain, it'll move. And if we speak to that mountain and it don't move, we don't accept that. We just keep speaking it until it moves. Because we know in the subparticles that it's moving. It starts vibrating when we speak the word of God. And when it starts vibrating, it's fixing to move. All we got to do is hold on to it. We praise you, Father. Doesn't make any difference what it's about. With whatever we're praying for, just keep confessing it as you told us. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Anyone else? Oh. I just saw the other day. Anybody know who Bob Joyce was or is? I'm just asking. Don't tell me. Don't say nothing if you know, if you already know. But shake your head if you don't know who Bob Joyce is. Okay. I know Missy and Julie and Debbie and everybody here knows. But I'll tell you who Bob Joyce was. But he's a new creation. And because he's a new creation, he's not the old man anymore. But at one time in his life, years before he was a new creation, he sang. And he sang songs like, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Just rocking all the time." You know, famous songs like that. And now you know who it is, don't you, Pat? Oh, you get out of here. I am so surprised. How about this? I'm trying to think of one now. Oh,
love me tender.
Are you talking about Elvis?
Well, who else would it be if it's about a hound dog?
Where did you get Joyce? Bob Joyce. Is that his name?
Yeah, he lives in Arkansas now.
Oh.
He lives in Benton, Arkansas. I forget the name of his church. He's a preacher now. Yeah.
Okay.
I can see doubt and unbelief here, but I ain't going nowhere with it. I'm just telling you the truth. But Bob Joyce is a preacher in Benton, Arkansas, and has been for several years now. I know what I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna try to. And he was put in. Some of you think he died of an overdose and that kind of stuff, but he was put in the witness protection program because of the threats against his life, because he knew too much in the industry about pedophilia and all of that stuff. And he was fixing to expose it. This is the story we get. And I'll tell you this much. I believe it is Elvis. And I'll tell you why. If you go in there and listen to Bob Joyce, look at Bob Joyce, listen to him when he's preaching, you'll understand what I'm saying. But he's come out recently on Operation Disclosure talking about the pedophiles and stuff and coming against it in a big way. He's got a small church in Benton, Arkansas is probably 35, 40 miles from, maybe about 30 miles from my house in Arkansas. And he apparently moved there as Bob Joyce, and he always wanted to preach the word. His mother, I believe it was the one that influenced him mostly about the Lord, and grandmother, I think. But anyway, if you don't know about his Christian background, after having a concert somewhere, Pat, he would have an all-night session with a gospel group. I'm trying to think, can anybody help me with the name of that gospel group he used to do those all-nighters with? I'll think of it here in a little bit. But they would just, and they would get wore out with him, but he wanted to go all night long singing about Jesus, just singing about Jesus. And actually, he put out a number of gospel records over the years. And my wife loved to hear his gospel singing, and I always bought his gospel songs when he put one out. Anyway, he's just recently, now he made a statement on YouTube that he was never Elvis, and he never has been Elvis, and da 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 da. But when you understand what happened, you understand why he said that. And the reason he said that is twofold, actually. And he didn't lie. He didn't lie. Because when you're put in a witness protection program because somebody's trying to kill you, you don't want anybody to know that you're really that person, right? No, you don't. That's just one aspect of it. But the second aspect of it that keeps him from lying is when he gave his life to Jesus, he was a new creation. He was Elvis no longer. He was God's chosen, one of God's chosen, just like we are. And when we walked out of that old life, we left the old life behind. He left the old life behind. He wasn't Elvis any longer. He now became Bob Joyce, the preacher. And if you'll go on YouTube and just type in Bob Joyce, you'll see what I'm talking about. He got a new name. That's right, Missy. He got a new name when he came to Jesus. And so what he never did lie about it in that YouTube video that he disclaimed to being Elvis. Well, he's not anymore. He's not Elvis. But when he gets up in the pulpit and starts preaching, that's right, he's a new creation, Barbara. When he gets up in the pulpit and preaches, you listen to him. He talks about his old time, his old man, a lot. He said, money is nothing. He said, you can have all the money in the world and still be sad. You know, he talks like that all the time. He tells about his old life and how he was glad that he gave it up. But he doesn't actually come out and say, you know, I was Elvis and I did this and I did that. He just insinuates here and there. But if you look at the man, He's got a birthmark right on his forehead. So I think it's on his forehead, somewhere on his face. And if you go back and look at Elvis and this guy, perfect match. Except he's older. He's got white hair now. He sings the same way he used to. A blue Christmas. I wish I could sing like him. I could make a little money, maybe. But anyway, he's down there in Arkansas, but he's now coming out more public, it looks like, against the pedophilia in the industry. So that's who Bob Joyce is. And every time I go over the Mississippi Bridge at not the Mississippi Bridge, when I go down to Hot Springs, I always say hi to him. He's on the way from my house to Hot Springs. He's about halfway. But I've never met the man. Don't get the wrong impression. I've never met him. I'd love to. How many of you would like to have a conversation with Elvis? I just want, hey, Elvis, would you sing? Oh, my. Go ahead, Missy.
Actually, when you said who would like to have a conversation with Elvis, and at first I was like, yes, but I'd be like, no, because he's not
No,
Elvis
he's not. No, he's
anymore.
not. What I want to hear is his testimony. That's what I'd love to hear. I've never heard his testimony. Have y'all? No, I haven't heard his testimony, but I'd love to hear that. He doesn't have a mega church. It might be 100 people in there, if that many. He's a good preacher, though. He seems to be preaching, the gospel. He's preaching what he knows, Pat. Did you see him, Ben? Yeah. Did it sound like Elvis to you? You're muted. We can't hear you.
Yeah, my computer was acting up for a second. Yeah, he does sound a lot like him. He does look like him, he's just older now.
Yeah. Well, that happens if you live long
Yeah,
enough. You know
for
what I'm
sure.
saying?
No, for sure. Yeah. I look a lot older than I was when I was seven, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Amen. All right, Debbie, I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
Yeah, Denny remembered, or Denny had read things about him. I don't know. It sounds like he had a heart for the Lord when he was younger.
Yes.
He did singing in churches and stuff like that. So he had something in his heart towards the Lord. But he got swamped and all that other stuff, you know, and he didn't really forget what he felt in his heart, because Denny read that when girls would come to his house, he would, I guess more than one at a time, he would read them, he would tell them Bible stories or just, you know, things from the Bible. That's what he read.
Praise
That's
God.
what, yeah. He wasn't what you would think with, I don't know how much he was with the girls, but he did that. So that's what we heard. So what Denny read. So I thought that was very interesting. And he just got trapped in there, and he didn't really deep inside want to be there, because he knew he wanted to sing for the Lord. And I know that got really squashed, and maybe at a point where he just even forgot about it. But it was
Well,
there.
I'd
Wasn't
say the industry just herded him into Satan's alley
that's
over
right.
there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
Yeah,
Here he
but
is.
he broke through. He broke through it.
Yeah.
Praise God. He
Yeah.
was fixing to, what I understand, now, I don't know this for a fact, but what I read was he was fixing to expose a bunch of these people that were doing the human trafficking and pedophilia in Hollywood and that industry. In the music industry. That one was that 77? I
That
think that was in 77.
Yeah, he used to do a lot of movies too, eh?
Oh
Yeah. In Hollywood, I just remembered that now, yeah.
Yeah, they monetized him pretty good. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, it's not unthinkable in the respect that you think, oh gosh, wouldn't he be like way too old to still be living? But he really would only be 90 years old.
It'd only be what?
90.
Med beds.
I know. I thought of that out. I mean, he does look really young,
Yeah.
but you know, that could be, you know, that could just plainly be the Lord. It wouldn't have to be a med bed, you know. But anyway, I loved watching his movies and his music when I was a kid. I was so sad when he
When he left
supposedly
the
died.
music industry.
Well, when he croaked,
Yeah.
supposedly. When he died, or whatever, but yeah. Anyway, and
Yeah.
I know.
Go
I
ahead.
mean, I know even back when he died, if I recall correctly, there were people saying that really wasn't him in the casket. It wasn't a real person. You know, and I don't know. You know, I mean. I mean, it's like nowadays, it's like we're learning so much stuff of things that's gone on behind our backs, and that, you know, and technology and all this stuff, you know, and I mean, it's almost like, you know, nothing's impossible with God, but it's like Babylon. You know, it's like with the technology and everything, you know, trying to be God too, you know. And it's just sometimes it's like it's hard to imagine fathom some of this stuff, but it's like, you know, I don't want to lift anybody up, you know. I think it would be cool if he really was alive, and I'm more inclined all the time to think that he is because of the proofs and stuff. And but I don't want to lift him up unnecessarily, like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I idolized him, you know, as they would say, you know. But I mean, if all this stuff really is true about him, he's got an awesome testimony, and I believe that
Well, think
God
of
would
all the
use
people. Think of all the people that came to Jesus just in that little old town over there in Arkansas because of him. You know, not because of his singing, but because of his preaching. You know, I don't know
Right.
what kind of a preacher he's yet. I've heard him preach and I've heard him talk about the flesh life a lot and how you need to get rid of it. And that's pretty good right there. That's the fruit of Jesus coming out. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, you have Jesus looking for that lost sheep sometimes, you know. You just don't know what it entails sometimes. And he puts them on his shoulders. And was he aware when he was put on the shoulders to bring him back, you know? The father and the prodigal son saw his son far. He rehearsed what he was going to say, and then he saw him far off. And then when he finally saw him there, he ran to him, you know, kissed him and gave him the coat and the ring and the shoes for his feet. And then he was going to do his rehearsal again. And he said, oh, let me just be one of your servants, Father. I messed up so bad, you know. And of course, then there's the son who stayed at home, you know. And you've got to watch it, because some of you guys who are staying at home, you don't know about this other guy there. You know, you look at all those things, you know. I'm reading Luke and I'm thinking about the last few chapters, you know. You get... Are some people out there not even realizing what's happening around them? You know, like you look at the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. But in the next chapter, you got the parable of Zacchaeus, who was also a rich man. You know, so was this man knew too late in the parable, of course. But Zacchaeus, he knew some. You know, the blind man by the wayside there, he knew something about Jesus. He said, son of David, you know, a blind man being more aware than sighted people. You know, and what's wrong with this rich man, you know? He actually knew Lazarus. You know, he called him, he saw him up there in Abraham's bosom. This is a story within a story. You know, he's even explaining it to them. Well, I'm going to Jerusalem now. And you know what they're going to do to me? And they didn't understand that. And those are his disciples. You know, and he meets up with a young lad there who's rich again. And he told him what he should do. And then he said, well, all these things I kept, you know. And then... Was he not aware who he was talking to? Were these things happening to him in such a... I can understand now when you get this brain fog. And I was going, man, what is brain fog? You know, but it's all there in those chapters, you know. And we are in a time of repetition, I think, of the New Testament for each of these Christians, you know. Could you be that rich man? Could you be that, you know, the there was a man there, he was supposed to be a good steward, but he wasn't. And God commended him for his unrighteous wisdom, you know, but he called him unrighteous, you know, he called that judge unrighteous too, with the widow. But who's the widow today? And who's this judge today? I tell you, man, they got some things in the courtrooms up here, and there's some poor old widow that wants to be, and she don't have a husband yet. The widow needs some. The widow wants a conservative to tell her what's right, but you know, the judge isn't. And who are these people? You know, are you one of these people? You know, do people read these stories in the Bible and not meditate as to whether or not they're one of these characters in these parables that they need rescuing from? Or even, you know, the salt of the earth. The salt is good. Well, there's only one that's good, so there must be something to this salt, you know. I mean, you wouldn't put it on your eggs in the morning if it didn't taste like anything. So, what's he talking about there? You know, is the salt no good to you anymore, people out there? Are you one of those guys who think the salt shouldn't be there? You should only have the pepper shaker, you know? I can tell you a lot of people died over pepper. Yeah, they were killing people over nutmeg and pepper and cloves. Oh, yeah, they had big wars over that. You know, the Portuguese went in first, and then the English took over, and then they fought against Portuguese, too, you know. And then the Dutch came in there, and they had the Isles of Indonesia, and then the English wanted to take over their cloves, and it was just miserable, you know, what happened there. And there was wars here and wars there over spices that you have in your kitchen and talk about preparing for the iron and clay way back then. I mean, those nations that were iron were already mixing with the clay nations. Just because you got a bunch of people coming across the border, well, that don't mean anything too much because they were part of your colonies, you know, and part of the mindset of the people. Anyway, you know, it really isn't colonization, capitalization, and conquering. It's Christ. So Christ should have been first, not the other stuff, because there was a lot of bad nature things there. And, you know, let's go bomb people over opium or whatever, you know. And so do these people not realize, you know, like I was recalling some historical thing where they labeled these people as not very good, virtuous people that were responsible for shelling China because of the opium wars, and the very base men. But did these people not realize what they were doing? I mean, look at the drug trade now. So are there things there spiritually happening to these Brits now that some of them do have a lot of problems with drugs and stuff? Anyways, you don't just read the word it for nothing, you know. And it kind of opened my eyes a bit on how these people weren't aware who they were talking to, but they were aware too, because they knew Jesus raised the dead. They knew he made people see. And these people who used to read the Bible back then, you know, were they not aware? Where were they? We want to be focused, yes. We want to be with Christ. We want to be aware of what we're doing. And largely that's in God's hands, but it's in our hands also to have our daily bread, I guess. Gotta. And you know, if there is a person who's too weak to collect his manna, then the strong person has to go out and collect extra omers of manna. And when he comes back, he's got to say, hey, Gramps, you were here with your grandson. He's only 7. I'll top both of these up for you. And you got your daily manna today. So is the people have an empty omer now? So it's interesting on how you could just look at some of these things and how he was there. You could touch him. And yet, that's special. Of course, we know that they got the tongues of fire on their head. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they came and that Pentecost happened, and they were additionally baptized in the Holy Spirit again. And you know, they were ready to go fishing at the end of John. Were they not aware? I mean, I like to go fishing every so often too myself, but you know, I don't have my fishing license, so I can only go on the free days. And they don't give too many of them. Father's Day, Canada Day weekend, I can fish on your American's holiday too. So, because they give you a week there for free fishing. But that was a thing I liked when I was in my 20s. Anyway, I lost that kind of appeal. I mean, I still get excited when you catch one, but you know, we got to be fishing with different bait. And it's not us casting the cord either. So, praise and glory to God.
Man, go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Andrew. I'm good.
I was thinking about what Andrew started me to thinking about something else, and I kind of lost it, but was thinking, when he was talking about these, people, like, can't they see? Can't they, see what is happening here? I think, I watched, I guess, society, how they dealt with the 9/11, attacks on the Trade Center. And of course, if you do some investigation on your own, and you are able to think logically, the story that they painted in that situation was absolutely mechanically and structurally idiotic. And there is no possible way it could have happened structurally, in that way, in the collapse of those buildings. There is absolutely no structural way it could have happened the way they said. There's just, and the thing is, there was such a fear, and threatening influence that happened in the lives of those designers that designed those buildings, that they clammed up and they shut up, basically. But before the threats happened, there were interviews that came out, and of course, then they quit giving interviews and kind of disappeared, and you didn't hear anything about it. But that wasn't the point. The thing I was thinking about is that the public bought into the deception that was sown. And why did the public buy into it? And I think that, there were so many people and entities of very high authority that made that presented the fear, I guess you might say, the striking, paralyzing fear that if this is true, that if this particular thing is true, I'm speaking about if there was a, let's just say, a controlled demolition or something like that. If that was true, where would we be as a society, as a world? It would. It's a very fearful thought or concept to consider, because you absolutely know that you're not in control, and that the authorities that you are resting in or trusting in society is not really what is in control, So it throws such a tremendous fear on people, that they can't allow themselves to think about it, to think that vein. They have to kill it. They have to remove that fear from their lives, so to speak. And if you don't have a, and I'm going to say, if you don't have a relationship with God, that you're not in spiritual dependence upon that structure, but you have been separated to serve God, and you're isolated, you have the ability to look on it and perceive it within the true light without the fear of it destroying you, the concept destroying you. So I'm triggering off of what Andrew said, because you remember when just the stories of the religious system that dealt with Jesus. I can't, I don't remember the exact, verses and everything, but look at all the times when it said that the Pharisees got together to try to find out a way they could kill him. And you think about that. Those were righteous, religious, righteous worshipers of God, their God, and yet they were thinking, we got to kill this guy. How do those two thoughts rest in the same brain? But it certainly did. And so, so I guess, in a conversation of starting off with Bob Joyce, I don't know if that's, if that's the reality behind that or not, who knows? But I suspect that there are a lot of that there are more people in that industry, in the entertainment industry, that have their eyes opened, but many don't know what to do with that knowledge. They don't know where to go. I talked about there's a interview that John Voight gave to Tucker Carlson, and it's on, I don't know if it's on the internet or YouTube or whatever, but he speaks of a conversion of sort. Now I don't know if he's been led to the Lord Jesus, but if you watch that testimony, he was talking to giving his testimony, talking to Tucker about it, and it kind of what isn't what they were even talking about, but it came out in the conversation. He had mentioned that he was under the stress of, his career somewhat faltering a little bit, and I think he was going through a divorce and various other things, and he literally was just crushed inside and was on his, he said he was on his hands and knees in tears, and he just said to himself, why is it so hard? Why does it have to be so hard? And he said he heard a very vivid, distinct voice said, it's supposed to be hard. That's the only thing that voice said to him. But it blew him away. He got up, and just that voice, that statement had such an impact on his life because he realized, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Somebody's watching out for me, and again, you listen to it, and then you where it's gone from there, I don't know, but it made an impact which changed his life. I believe there are a lot of other people in that industry that again that have come to a place in their life that there isn't anything they can't buy, there isn't anything they can't do, there isn't anything that is outside of their desire or their grasp if they wanted it. And once they have hit that place and realized that, is this all that it is? Is this it? Is this life? And that awareness has rattled people, some of these people has rattled them to their foundations. But I think they don't know where to go. And there's a healthy disrespect for the religious system of today. So they don't know where to go. So I think maybe I'm talking about two different things here, but so they don't know where to go, and there's a fear associated with that whole concept because, when you start to see the deep, dark side of the hidden aspects of this life and what's happening behind the scenes and in the shadows, you get a view of that. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you can't, I don't think you can process that without fear overcoming you and overwhelming you, or at least some foundation that separates you from this world system. So, kind of end with the thought is that number one, this is seed for revival. There's going to be absolutely no limits on where the Word of God can go and touch people's hearts. There's going to be no limit because the walls are coming down and the darkness is being exposed by the light, and people are going to cry out that heart's desire within them, in the face of that fear, people are going to cry out to need and grasp the reality of the true God. And so, I mean, I can see why God is taking so much time to hammer the flesh out of our lives and to change our heart to focus on these things of the spirit and of the heavenlies that are the things which affect people's lives, including our own. Those are where the solutions are at, the solutions to these this fear, this a world control. That's where the answers are at, in Jesus, in the Spirit. So anyway, I'll quit. I know Andrew's got his hand up.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, you mentioned those towers in New York, but you know, in the Bible, there's mention of a tower too that fell on people. I mean, they were inside the tower too, you know, they were inside those towers in New York, but I'm sure they thought that they were the worst sinners of all, like it says in the scriptures, but you know, a lot of people also, Pat, went to church after that in New York. A lot of people, the churches were pretty much packed for a while, and someone could have got a start there. Someone could have gotten saved from this, you know. Someone could have gotten to be a disciple of Jesus when he mentioned it. Someone could have been a disciple of Jesus when he mentioned that thing about what Pontius Pilate was doing with the sacrifices of the people, mixing the blood, their blood with their blood of their sacrifice too. There could have been some people, well, who is this man? What is he talking about here? You know? So there might be, you know, after the Second World War, the churches were packed too. Maybe there's a reason why they're emptying now too. You know, and I was thinking about that earlier too, when you mentioned that, I wanted to bring that up, that when these disasters come, they try to come to God. They got to try to go to God. You know, you got a personal struggle of someone. You know, they're struggling with something. They think they're a Christian, but they're really not a Christian. And they go, this is wrong, you know. And then someone might mention something like, well, cry out to the Lord, you know. And he'll always answer you, you know. And they'll try it, you know. And it works, you know. So these things and many things like this, you know, you had some testimonies of people in the past that he was a person that was kind of a not a really nice young man, you know, especially when he came with the ladies. And now he's suddenly a preacher, you know, and so you have the testimony of Paul. Look what he did, you know, and now, and he was a Pharisee that used to put people in prison and take them in bounds, and now he's an apostle of God. So, you know, it's just interesting, you know, like. Did he ever think back and say, where was I, you know, doing this, you know? You know, there's a covenant with Noah. Everybody has a covenant with God through that covenant, but they just don't know it anymore. And it's written right there in the Genesis. They ain't supposed to be killing anybody. None of those descendants of Cain made it on the boat. So why? Who was the first killer after the boat? That's what I was thinking about that, you know. Well, they came off of Noah's boat, but who was the first murderer out of this lineage of Seth? You know, that's kind of sad, you know. Maybe it does say it in the Bible somewhere. I didn't look that closely at it, but it's just. They know it's wrong. You know, I you take an indigenous person in the past from the Indians, okay, the indigenous people, when a son became a good hunter, everyone loved him. But the mothers of these sons knew their son was different when he became a warrior and killed his first man. They knew that there was something different about their son. The mothers did. You know, and they just couldn't put their finger on it. It's kind of weird. I've heard stories like that. And anyways, the Lord has to work with these happenings that have nothing. Nothing goes by his throne without him saying that can happen. For each individual, I mean, when he knows a tree falls in the forest, then he knows every single human being that was ever on this planet. And that could be a sorrowful thing for the Lord, that he has to. Does he not remember these people, or does he just dismiss them? Or look what he has to do now. Look what he has to judge. It's, you know, no father wants that for any of their children. So what does God the Father have to judge now? Anyways, I'm just trying to get a perspective here. You know, and some of the verses, you know, when it's all done and it's all rest, we're all, the rapture, resurrection happens. Of course, in the midst of the time of the wrath, when it's supposed to happen, it's just devastating for the people, you know. And it talks about an end times for every generation, you know. So, but we know God is in control. He tells us of the verses in the last page. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So, and he that is holy, let him be made holy still. What happened? Were they not fed? Were those people in these times we live in now? It just didn't. I think they think it's a 24-hour thing. You know, whereas Peter warns us, you know, of the last days, and he's mentioned things there that have happened somewhere in the 1800s and. And it's still of the last days. You know, we've never had such wars where it went from one end of the continent of Europe, Portugal, to Russia back in imperial days with Napoleon and the First World War, which included all the colonies of Africa, the German colonies and the British colonies, and the Second World War. It makes you kind of wonder, did they even read James chapter 4 or Romans 13:10? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And do they not partake of these things so that the Lord with the Holy Spirit could remind them of what he taught them even? So it's almost as if someone has to shake them to remind them of this, but they don't have that relationship. They don't have the witness within them. They don't have the inner man. And they don't have the ability to live that new life because the Holy Spirit is not there to help them live the new life that they were given at the cross and resurrection. And, you know, when you start and then he fills you with the Holy Spirit, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, are they in a limbo state there, some of them? till they get filled. Just like kind of in the Gospels, they're his disciple. But are they his disciple? Until they get the Holy Spirit in them, not just on them, and not just to be clean because of the word spoken to them. Though it is good to have the word and the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb. So, and all three are spiritual, and they all function in the Spirit. Because if you know of that other covenant in Daniel 9:27, just how many abominations till you come to the last one? You know, you shouldn't have any. You gotta get that pinnacle and cut it down. You gotta cut that wing off. And I think that's what the Father helps us with. We don't knowingly want to disobey. We have the things of sin where we might need help from the Lord, and it only comes from the Lord, even if he uses you to do it. But if it's a law man, then they're not gonna, they can't receive it because they're a law man. They're not a faith man. You know, for I reckon a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Some people would say you're crazy, you know, because all they've been getting is law. So, but the fulfillment of it, the law and the prophets, is of course Jesus. So, and that Jesus comes to live in you, and we're partakers of him. And we want the Father to use us. And he will. He'll use everyone he's supposed to use. Because the verse says so. You got to let that peace arbitrate in your, rule in your heart. And if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, well, you're letting it rule in your heart. So, Colossians 3:15, I think it is. It says arbitrate, which is to rule. At least that's the translation I got. Someone told me it was rule, so I just kind of put a note in the blank part of the page of your Bible. You got to put rule in there, else you're going to read that one day and then what's an arbitrate, you know? Like, is this complaining with each other? You know, two lawyers mixing together, like, which one do you represent, you know? the lawyer on the right side or the lawyer on the left side? And who's the judge here anyway? And, there's just so much. And the Lord wants us to have it always with us. To have his mind and heart and soul cleansed, and of course the strength. You know, some people I think just get robbed of the strength. They just think, well, I don't have any strength. Look at that guy over there, he's got so strong. He's so strong, man, he speaks so well, and I must be some sort of crazy. Pardon the pun, but meathead. But no, it's not that way. You know, that meat could be used as a good thing in certain verses, and in certain verses, meat is not a good thing. So, it's just an understanding of things, and this glory of God's understanding is quite a bit, you know. That's one of your lights in your temple. And he even tells you some of the good verses there to have this rule in your heart and to have the things, you know, to test the spirits so that you're ready for them. Like it says in 1 John chapter 4, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Study to show yourself approved. And they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. From these also turn away. So is that a foolish virgin in the 10 virgins, you know? Or is it a, is that not the guy who had one talent? Where are these goats and these sheep today? I mean, there's four lands. The top three have what? Just goats in them? And just the fourth land has the sheep in it? There's just a lot of questions that the Lord could give you. You know, especially like when you're reading this and you go, they didn't understand. But the glory of God's understanding is given because you're a child of light. If I'm a 2-talent guy, I can't be a 5-talent guy. You know, there's rewards, you know, in the name of a prophet, if you receive a prophet's reward, and in the name, first of all, it says, who receives? You receives me and he who sent me. So what do you got in you? I mean, there's the whole gospel in that verse. He who receives you receives me and the one who sent me. So come on, people, now, you know, that could be a kick in the head for some people, but who did Jesus have in him? And who did he tell us to have in us? You know, who did the Father say? You know, he's the words that I speak to you, you know, are spirit and life, you know, but if anyone keep my word, he loves me, you know, and the Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Then you start wondering, am I getting this by grace, or am I keeping it by, don't say that, you're getting it by grace, because the other one's a no contest anymore, because sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. And plus, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So you don't have law. You know, and my hope is that if anyone does listen to this, they can have their eyes opened. You know, I think this eye opening today is a lot different than when Paul said it, to open their eyes to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to receive your remission of sins, to receive an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul didn't have to deal with all these different, well, he did, but it was formulating these sects as he went to Corinth, I guess, and Galatia, because that's what the first chapters say there. But in the beginning, it wasn't that way. You know, they all kind of were up there where they were supposed to be, you know. It got messed up a little bit later because, you know, people are so used to being the other way before you came to Christ. So I hope this helps people, and all glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. All the glory goes to God. All right, anyone else? Well, I hope everyone did listen to the broadcast last, both mine and David's. It was good, both of them. Amen. Oh, we're about to wind down here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Just a few minutes, or yeah, Pat.
I was struck by David's teaching on suffering, and I think it was like last week. And the Lord's been taking me through a few days of thinking that process through. But I just wanted to one thing that he kind of showed me, or at least was reinforcing in me. Is that suffering, just going through suffering for the sake of suffering and, waiting it out type of thing is not getting, is it, there's a possibility you cannot get the benefit or the purpose of that suffering out unless you understand the way to cooperate with it. And one of the, and the purpose of that suffering is to stop us to think and to first of all realize that the suffering comes into our life many times because of us. Because the cause is within us in some form or another, whether it be that a cause in us which causes reactions of others or whatever. And so when we're able to see those actions or reactions within us and compare them with what Jesus how he responds in the same circumstances, it allows us to see that the difference where we're supposed to be doesn't give us the answer, but it shows us what we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to react or respond, etc. And it's from that point that we go to seek the Lord and ask him to allow us to think the same thoughts or the same thinking or believe the same believing belief that he has in order to release and rest in what we are believing. And in that believing, the same way Jesus believes, we're able to automatically respond the same way he does. Excuse me. So there's a lot more that he's, showing me all the way through the last few days, but I just wanted to kind of end with that. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you, Pat. All right, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful words we heard tonight. And Father, we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we could be more like you, Lord. Keep us filled. Fill us every day with a new anointing. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all. Good night, all.